Now this morning I want to draw your attention to a couple, a husband and wife, that the Bible reveals to us. Now the Bible speaks of a number of husband and wife combinations throughout the scriptures. We might think of Abraham and Sarah. We might think of Moses and Zipporah, or Ruth and Boaz. But I think there's none quite like Aquila and Priscilla. Theirs was quite a unique ministry in all the scriptures. And as crazy as it might sound, I think the scriptures suggest that without Aquila and Priscilla, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ might not have turned out the way that it did if not for them. Now, Priscilla and Aquila, we're told, were tent makers, originally from Rome, but after the persecution of the Jewish people there under the Emperor Claudius, they've made their way to Corinth. And at Corinth, they encounter, in the will of God, the Apostle Paul. A little bit later in the chapter 18, they come across another dynamic evangelist, this time a man by the name of Apollos. And as we're going to see their impact upon these two men, the bravery that they demonstrated within the early church became legendary. And we find Aquila and Priscilla referenced in no less than four of our New Testament books. Priscilla and Aquila, I believe, are a fascinating study of men and women working together for the good of the church and for the cause of God's kingdom. I think it's a wonderful testimony to see a husband and wife not only love one another, but to serve the Lord in that love. And so when you find Aquila or Priscilla mentioned in the Bible, they're always mentioned together. They're never mentioned separately. This is a couple that was not only one in their marriage, but they're one in all that they did. They're not just one physically, but they're one spiritually before the Lord. And they're a wonderful testimony and a wonderful example of a husband and wife working together as a team in the work of God. And I have no doubt that they were extremely close to one another. And so I repeat again, what a wonderful blessing to see a husband and wife working together and loving and serving the Lord of heaven together. It was Hudson Taylor, the great missionary, that once said that the light that does not shine beautifully around the family table at home is not fit to rush off a long way to do a service elsewhere. Their Christianity was seen first of all in the home, and it had an influence that spread far beyond the four walls of their home. Now the Bible doesn't tell us how and when they became Christians. The first time we meet them is here in Acts chapter 18, and I think you'll agree that as we see them at work in this chapter, there's evidence, I believe, that they're already followers of the Lord. Now, there are certain things I want to point out to you about this couple. I hope that they will be simple and easy to understand, and then we can seek to put them into practice ourselves. The first thing I want you to notice about them is their helpfulness. Their helpfulness. I think this is perhaps the most important and maybe even the most inspiring characteristic about Aquila and Priscilla. We read in this chapter how they helped certain men of God in their ministry. I can think of my own life, of those that the Lord has brought into my life that have been an encouragement to me, those that have been faithful as supporters and helpers in my ministry. I can think back to my teenage days when I was maybe 18, 19 year old. I was part of a little group that held youth meetings on a Saturday night On Friday night, we would meet in each other's homes for a Bible study and for a time of prayer. And then on Saturday nights, we would have the meeting in which we would have special singers coming along, maybe someone who would testify of how God had saved them, and someone who would preach the Word of God to us. And I was part of that little group for a number of years. Now, the leadership of that group was largely made up of couples, married couples. In fact, there were a number of brothers and their wives and their friends that had gotten together, and I was rather late to the party along with a friend of mine. But those married couples, those young married couples, took myself and my friend under their wing to a certain extent. And they loved us, and they taught us, and they instructed us, and they prayed with us, and they encouraged us. It was in one of those meetings that I first ever publicly prayed. It was through their influence that I first ever stood before people to preach the Word of God. And I knew that they were not only encouraging me, but they were praying for me and they were assisting me. And I look back in those days with great fondness. And I still have a great love in my heart for those that were so close and so helpful to me in those days. I love them deeply in the Lord. Well, Aquila and Priscilla were those kinds of people. They had a heart for the men of God. And here in Acts chapter 18, we see two men in particular whom they befriended and then helped in their ministry. The first one being the Apostle Paul. He was in need of encouragement. You see, at the beginning of chapter 18, we find Paul had departed from Athens and had come to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come to Italy, or from Italy, with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had demanded all Jews to depart from Rome. Well, Paul's second missionary journey had been a difficult one. Acts chapter 18 finds him at a low point in his life and in his ministry. He's experienced riots. He's been thrown in prison. He has been beaten and abused and persecuted on a number of occasions. Lately in Athens, he's found that the message of the gospel was almost completely rejected altogether. Now, that's not to say that there wasn't fruit to his second missionary journey, but it had come at great expense to Paul personally. And when he arrives in Corinth, it seems that he is weary both in body and soul. He's greatly discouraged. And at this point in his life, God brings into his acquaintance Aquila and Priscilla. And they happen to be tent makers, a trade that the Apostle Paul had learned in his early life. They say that all Jewish boys, even rabbi's sons, were required to learn a trade. The saying being that he that does not teach his son a trade teaches him to become a thief. Well, Paul had learned the trade of tent making. Perhaps he had learned it from his father. And now he comes in contact with Aquila and Priscilla, newly arrived from Rome, and they're coming there to set up their new business. And Paul arrives, and well, God uses this business to bring the two of them together. They give him a job because he has no money left. They opened up their home to him and provided him with a place of refuge. During the week, Paul would work with Aquila and Priscilla, and then as verse 4 reminds us that every Sabbath day he went to the synagogue in order to preach and to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. Now, if you've got your Bible in hand, turn over into the book of Romans just for a moment, and into chapter 16. And there in verse 3, Paul writes these words, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus." My helpers. And the word that Paul uses there for helper simply means a fellow helper, a co-laborer. Paul is referencing Aquila and Priscilla as friends who helped him in his ministry. They helped him financially by giving him work, but they helped him spiritually, being a helper in Christ Jesus. They were a breath of spiritual fresh air to the weary man of God. They not only provided for him a roof over his head, but they provided him with encouragement for his heart. They gave him a job, but they also brought back his joy. And they became dear friends to the apostle. And if you look at the next verse in Romans 16, verse 4, you'll find that Paul speaks of giving thanks for them. He's thankful that the Lord ever saw to it that their paths crossed one with the other. I find it wonderful that God knows just exactly what we need and when we need it. And he even knows those who will be able to supply that need, and he sends them into our lives at the opportune moment. And I've no doubt we can all think of those precious saints that God sends our way that are like a cool drink of water on a hot day. They provide us with encouragement and refreshment, and they revive our spirit within us. I suppose the question is, since God has sent other people into our lives to be that person for us, are we that person then for someone else? Are we a joyful Christian that encourages and helps others around us? So we find them encouraging the Apostle Paul. Now by the end of the chapter, we find them edifying the evangelist Apollos. And just as God brought Aquila and Priscilla into the life of Paul at the very time that he needed it most, the Lord then brought them into the life of Apollos at an important time for him also. Look at verse 26 of Acts chapter 18. And he, that is Apollos, began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now Apollos had become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was a very skilled and eloquent man, a very skilled speaker, and a deep scholar of the things of God. But there were things about the gospel that he didn't yet quite fully understand. And that's where God brought Aquila and Priscilla into his life. They heard him preaching. And he's preaching boldly in the synagogue. And they noted that he taught diligently or carefully the things of the Lord, yet he knew only the baptism of John. So what he was preaching was accurate, but it was limited. He didn't quite have the full understanding of the gospel. And so this couple, Aquila and Priscilla, noted this man, and we're told that they took him unto themselves. In love, they befriended him, and they sought to help him so that he might understand the wonderful message of the gospel even more clearly. Their actions indicate to us that this is a couple that know the things of God. They're knowledgeable in the ways of God and in the word of God, and we're told that they expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The idea of expounding is to open something up, to expose it, to explain it more clearly. And they explained to him the way of God more perfectly. They gave him a fuller picture of the life and the work and the ministry and the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they explained to him more fully the importance of his death and of his resurrection and of his ascension to glory and of his coming again to receive his people. There were gaps in his knowledge that they filled. And I love how they approached him. They didn't stop him in the middle of his preaching in the synagogue and say, "Hold on a minute, Apollos, you haven't got that quite right." They didn't rebuke him. They didn't come to him with a holier-than-thou attitude or a know-it-all attitude. They approached him lovingly and carefully and thoughtfully. And when we're told that they took him unto them, it simply means that they opened up their home and their heart to him. One commentator suggested they took him home for dinner. And around the table, as they were talking of the things of God, they explained more fully. What a wonderful testimony of this wonderful couple, Priscilla and Aquila, investing their time and their effort and their love and their experience into the life of this young believer to encourage him and to instruct him and to guide him along the way. What a wonderful testimony of a heart and a home that was opened up for the benefit of others. And the impact of that dinner resulted in Apollos becoming a more effective preacher, an even more faithful servant of the Lord. I suspect that if you were to speak to Apollos at some point in the future, he will look back on that day when he met Priscilla and Aquila and say, "You know, my life changed that day. It was a life-defining moment. Yes, I had my education in the finest schools of the day, but God took a simple husband and wife, tent makers, to teach me more about Christianity than I ever learned in a classroom." How we thank God not only for those that encourage us, but for those that edify us and build us up in the things of God. We should pray for people that do that. And we should pray to be people like that. We don't want to be part of the wrecking crew. We want to be part of the building crew, to encourage and exalt and edify the people of God and the work of God. So we see their helpfulness. Let me point out also their faithfulness. Another interesting thing about Priscilla and Aquila is that every time we find them mentioned in the Word of God, they're serving the Lord. So whether they're in Rome or Corinth or Ephesus, they're faithful to God's work. We find a couple that is dedicated to the things of the Lord. And we mentioned already Romans chapter 16, where Paul describes them as being fellow laborers, fellow helpers in the work of God, for whom he gives thanks. But there's a service that they're willing to give. Again, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, my companions in the work, my co-laborers in the gospel. It seems that from the moment that they met, Aquila and Priscilla attached themselves to the work of God being carried out by the Apostle Paul, and they wanted to be with him and stay with him and help him in whatever way they could. Back in Acts chapter 18 again, the verse 18 tells us that Paul is ready to leave Corinth. And who goes with him? Well, Priscilla and Aquila. We read that Paul took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Not only were they dear friends, but they were fellow helpers in Christ Jesus. There's a loyalty here. There's a devotion in the hearts of Aquila and Priscilla, not only to Paul, the man of God, but to the gospel, the work of God. They'd worked together for 18 months in Corinth, and when it was time for Paul to leave, they didn't stand at the port and wave goodbye as he took his ship. They packed their bags and they went with him. It was their desire to be continually involved in the work of God. Aquila and Priscilla were part of what God was doing in that day. They wanted to be involved in the very midst of it. Oh, what a challenge to us. What are we doing in the work of God? How are we serving? In what way are we helping the cause of Christ? Are we co-laborers and fellow helpers of those that are serving the Lord? And let's not forget that as the body of Christ, we all have a part to play. We all have a role to fulfill. Paul was the preacher. Aquila and Priscilla were his helpers. And I believe that as believers together, we find our place and our work in the cause of Christ, and we should be like these couples. We should be faithful to that work. Let me take you again to Romans chapter 16, to the verse 4 this time. Not only were they faithful to the service of the Lord, but they have a sacrifice that they're willing to make. Verse 4 of Romans 16, speaking of Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks. They've laid down their own necks. It's an expression that means that they were willing to put their head on the chopping block for me. At some point, Paul is saying, now he doesn't elaborate upon it, but at some point Aquila and Priscilla have risked their very life for my sake. As I said, we're not sure when this was. Some believe it was in Ephesus when there was a great uproar in the city, when Paul was in great strife. The details are unclear, but the importance is not unclear. They were willing to risk their lives for the Apostle Paul. So deep is their devotion to him that they'd gladly lay down their lives for the cause of Christ. Now, if you're a student of history at all, you will know that the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been built upon the blood of those who were willing to pay the ultimate price rather than being unfaithful to the Lord. I think it was the Church Father Tertullian who said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the Church. One example that came to mind was the story of a rich widow by the name of Felicitas. She was alive during the time of the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, and she had 7 sons whom she had instructed in the ways of the Lord and who were professed Christians. Well, soon she and her sons were called before Publius, who was the prefect of Rome, and he in vain sought to induce them to renounce their faith, deny the Lord Jesus Christ, and worship the false gods of the Romans. And he appealed to them under various guises. He appealed especially to the mother Felicitas, but she replied that her sons would know how to choose between everlasting life and everlasting death. And one by one, her sons were required to deny the Saviour, but their mother exhorted them to stand fast in the Lord Jesus Christ, and she reminded them of the great reward that awaited them in glory, and she stood by as she watched her eldest son scourged with thorns until he died. The next 2 were beaten to death with clubs. The 4th was flung from a rock. The other 3 were beheaded. And then in the midst of her dead, it said that she praised God that he had given her 7 sons counted worthy to be saints in paradise. And then they took her, and after a long and excruciating torture, she herself was beheaded. But you know, there were others who heard that testimony and saw the deepness of their love for the Lord and their devotion to him, and the church flourished. I've often wondered sometimes what would happen on a Sunday morning if, as has happened in other places in the world, terrorists stormed into a service and demanded people to renounce their faith or be killed. How would we respond? How many would stand knowing that it would mean the end of their life? And I fear to a large degree that such is the shallowness of devotion that characterizes the faith of many today, I fear that there would be few who would stand. You can hardly get Christians to commit to two services on a Sunday, never mind be faithful unto death. Well, Aquila and Priscilla were helpful to the men of God and faithful to the work of God and willing even to put their own neck upon the line if it meant the furtherance of the gospel. So we see their helpfulness to the men of God, their faithfulness to the work of God, and lastly, their love for the church of God. That's the third inspiring characteristic of Aquila and Priscilla. And I'm going to take you to another reference this time, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. It's the verse 19 that we'll look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 19. And there we read, "The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Romans chapter 16 and verse 5 says, "Likewise greet the church that is in their house." And I was speaking of Aquila and Priscilla. The point I'm making is that the church was an important part of the life of Aquila and Priscilla. And I believe the church will be an important part of every Christian's life that's serious about serving God and helping others. But we can judge to an extent the depth of our love and devotion to the Savior by the emphasis that we place upon the body of Christ. Aquila and Priscilla, we find them building the church. It was common in those days for the church to meet in people's houses. They didn't have fancy buildings such as we have today. Oftentimes they had to meet in secret. Homes were opened up where believers gathered for fellowship and for worship and praise and prayer and for partaking of the Lord's Supper and hearing the preaching of God's word. And Aquila and Priscilla were at the forefront of that work. They opened their doors and their home to the church of the Lord. We find here in the book of Romans that long after they had left the city, they have returned again. And the first thing they do upon their return is to start a church in their home. They're careful to see that the believers have a place to assemble and fellowship. Just think of what that means just for a moment. That means that their home was a place where God's word was proclaimed. It's a place where God's people grew and were edified in the things of God. Their home was a place where people prayed. Their home was a place where the gospel was proclaimed and the saints were built up and the lost were converted. Here's a couple that worked to see the church built in their city. They loved the Lord and they loved the people of God and they devoted themselves to the cause of God. We want to be like Priscilla and Aquila. We want to be helpful to the workers of God. We want to be faithful to the work of God. We want to be lovers of the church of God. And so I encourage you to look again in your Bibles at the lessons that are to be learned from the life of Priscilla and Aquila. I commend them to you. And I trust that we will seek to honor them by following in their example. To be encouragers of the workers of God, faithful to the work of God, and builders of the church of God. And may the Lord raise up in our day Priscillas and Aquilas. May we be such. And may the future believers and generations rise up to call us blessed because of our homes that were separated unto the Lord. May the Lord help us to be like them. Let's bow in prayer.